don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to build on sand or earth. Because when the storms come, it's too late to try to get stuff together. Right? When the storms come, if you haven't built on the right foundation, and they begin to beat against your life, and that's what, you know, it talks about, is, you know, when it involves us, it's our life. And when these storms beat against our life, I remember I preached a message years ago here.
God, I'm lonely. Lord, going back to what Pastor Glaze said in the beginning, you know, I have a painful inner feeling. There's a feeling of emptiness and alone. I lack meaningful contact with other people, and I feel incomplete. Lord, I'm overwhelmed with this feeling of loneliness. And so the first thing you have to do is admit the problem. You have to admit that you're lonely.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church.
Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Loneliness, Is Loneliness Your Best Friend? From our series titled Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Loneliness, Is Loneliness Your Best Friend?
Having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. So Paul said, one guy forsook me, and two of my other partners, they left to go to Galatia and Dalmatia. He says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me. So here Paul, the great man of God, is alone. And he's feeling the brunt of loneliness. So, you know, we can't say that, you know, we are this great spiritual person and that we are never going to be affected by loneliness. Here is the Apostle Paul, who started many of the churches in the New Testament, who wrote most of the New Testament, who led many people to Christ. And here he is coming to the end of his life, full of faith in God, but still dealing with a bit of loneliness in his life. He goes on to say, he says in verse 12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Look at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil. So not only does he have some people forsaking him, he has people leaving, but now he's got people treating him evil. And then he says in verse 16, if this is not the epitome of loneliness, look at this. And at my first defense, no man, I repeat, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Wow. Wow. And you think you got problems. And you think that you're dealing with loneliness. Paul said, at my last defense, all those who said amen, Paul, all those who supported me and encouraged me, he said, nobody stood with me. All men forsook me. You talking about feeling alone. You talking about a lonely feeling. Wow. And so this is something that affects all of us. Whether we're single, married, whether we're young, old, all of us have to deal with this issue of loneliness. So what are some of the causes of loneliness? And I'll go through these real quick. There's the technological cause. And what is that? Well, you know what? Everything in our society has been impersonalized. All the way from automatic call centers, when you call in, press 1 for this, press 2 for that, press 3 for that. And you never get a chance to talk to a person. Even to when you go to the bank and get money, that you're doing it through a machine. I remember when the bank that I go to, that they used to be, I go to drive through, there'd be people in the window.
and they would be talking to you and stuff like that. And then what happened is they put a big picture of people in the window. Because they weren't at the drive-thru anymore. They were in the bank. And I remember my wife, she was going through one day, and my granddaughter was trying to speak to the people over there, you know? I mean, so, you know, we live in an automated society. Everything is depersonalized. So is it any wonder loneliness is an issue in our society today? That we can't get any personal communication. So it's easy for the person who wants to cut themselves off and isolate, because now what do I do? You know, I just go and I turn my TV on and I see all these people on the screen and I can live my life through them. You know, if they're a beauty queen, I think that's why people connect to soap opera so much, because they see themselves in a lot of the characters, and or you know, they want to root for a certain character and they connect. So if I can connect with somebody on the TV, then what does that mean? Then I don't have to deal with anybody else myself. I don't have to deal with knuckleheads because the people on the soap operas are dealing with knuckleheads. I don't have to deal with people that love me because the people on the soap opera or on the TV, they're dealing with people that love me. And so here goes a step back again, this technological society. You know, I've been to events. Now, again, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm just saying I've been to places where you're supposed to be getting together for fellowship. Oh, it's going to get quiet now. Brother Lane, don't say stop saying amen, Andy. It's getting ready to get real quiet now. I'm telling you all ahead of time. Give me a warning. Fellowship, and everybody is. Everybody. And I said, man, you know, we've lost that personal element. You know, there was a time when, you know, families spent time together and they fellowshiped together and they talked and they played board games together. I remember playing all kind of board games growing up. But now we got games on our phone, so I can play on my phone. You can play on your phone. You can play on your phone. And we never have to talk to each other. I know, man, when I used to play Monopoly, man, I used to get up in people's grill, man, you know. Yeah. You bet not land on Park Place. You bet not land on the boardwalk. But, you know, we don't have that now, right? So there's this further isolation. Technology has isolated people and has contributed to loneliness. Another one is what I'll call the chronological cause, and that is, as a child is growing up, that maybe that child became detached from a significant other. You know, maybe there was a divorce, or maybe, you know, a parent died, or, you know, a dad wasn't there, whatever the case might be. And so chronologically, as that child developed, they missed the connection, and that has had an impact on their life. Or maybe even the flip side of that is true. Maybe they didn't get the attention, affection, or even the discipline that they needed. And so as a result of that, you know, there was some disconnect with their development. And so now, you know, they don't know how to relate to other people. So it's better for them just to, and they grew up just staying by themselves. And now they're in this position where they're lonely and all alone. Another one is the psychological cause, and that is people who suffer from low self-esteem. Sometimes they have a tendency to isolate themselves and they don't want to be around others. They see themselves as not worthy and not able to be around, to have a conversation, to interact. So what do? They isolate themselves from others. Then there's the sociological cause, and this might be what affects a lot of us. Let me just read some of these sociological causes for loneliness. Poor communication skills. People that can't communicate with others. What do? They isolate themselves. If you've been rejected by others, peers, coworkers, etc., you isolate yourself from others. Moving to a new environment. Sometimes when kids move to a new place and they don't feel like they fit in, then what do? They isolate themselves. Sometimes when, sometimes the empty nest, right?
I love my kids. I love all of them. Party. Sometimes the empty nest. That, you know, people have a hard time, you know, dealing with that. And then they just, you have poured them their lives into, you know, their children. And so when their children leave, they just kind of move off to somewhere by themselves. And then, as we said earlier, divorce and also death can be a cause of loneliness. And then finally, we see the theological cause. Now, what is a theological cause? Most people have an awareness of God. You know, even people that don't come to church. Now, unless you're an atheist, and I still think the atheists have an awareness of God because they spend so much time trying to prove that he don't exist. Most people have an awareness of God. And then when you do something where you feel like you've alienated yourself from God, can you imagine the feeling of loneliness that comes over you? If God is alienated, it's not that God has gone anywhere. It's that you have alienated yourself from God. And so now here you are, alienated from God, and it's very easy to get caught up in this whole idea of loneliness. And even people that are tied to the house of God, and then they stop coming, and they backslide, and they fall away from God, then what happens? There's that feeling of loneliness. That, you know, when I'm not connecting with God, and there's that loneliness, and a lot of times that type of loneliness will lead to other types of loneliness, where you just don't even want to connect with other people. But what's the good news? Let me give you the good news as I take us to the last point. And that is, you can overcome loneliness. You can overcome loneliness. Turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verse 16. David says, and this is in the NIV, he says to the Lord, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." David, when he found himself dealing with loneliness, what did he do? He cried out to God, "God, I'm lonely. God, I feel like I'm in this world by myself. I feel like a pelican in the desert. I feel like an owl in the wilderness. I feel like a sparrow on the rooftop all by myself. God, hear me today." Man, you better cry out. If you're dealing with, cry out to God. You can get caught up in all this other mumbo jumbo. But I'm going to tell you the first thing that you better do. You better cry out to God. David, in the midst of all that he was dealing with, he had sense enough in his loneliness to cry out to God. And as you cry out to God, there are certain things that you want to do. The first thing you want to do is admit the problem. You want to admit that you're lonely. God, I'm lonely. Lord, going back to what Pastor Glaze said in the beginning, you know, I have a painful inner feeling. There's a feeling of emptiness and alone. I lack meaningful contact with other people, and I feel incomplete. Lord, I'm overwhelmed with this feeling of loneliness. And so the first thing you have to do is admit the problem. You have to admit that you're lonely. And then the second thing you got to do is you got to look and you got to identify the cause. What has caused me to be lonely? Was it the technological issue, the chronological issue, the psychological issue, the sociological issue, or the theological issue? What is causing me to have this feeling of loneliness? So the first thing you do is say I'm lonely. The second thing you do is identify, why am I lonely? And there's a cause for it. There's a reason. If you're lonely, if you're sitting here lonely today, there's a reason why you are lonely. And you need to find out what that reason is. There's young people that come and they sit here week after week and they're lonely and they don't connect.
and they go out, and things happen in their lives that break our hearts because they're dealing with this loneliness, this disconnection. The third thing, oh, my brothers and sisters, as my dad used to say, this is where the getting gets good. And that is, you need to tap into the resources of the Trinity. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Father is with me. And not only that, but the Son says, I stick closer than a brother. And the Holy Spirit says, I will comfort you in times. Man, you can't lose. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You better learn how to tap into that Trinity there. Talking about you lonely? I never need to feel alone. Because the Father says that no matter what I do, that he is going to be with me. I pulled up some scriptures. Let me share with you some scriptures that I pulled up, if I can find them here. Isaiah 40 and verse 10. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the river, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, they will not burn you. The flames will not set you on fire, because I will be with you. Jeremiah 1:8. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. I will rescue you. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors for him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tap into the resources of the Trinity. They are there. They are available for you. We need to invest in relationships with other people. The worst thing that we can do, because it'll feed our loneliness every time, is to isolate ourselves. You need to connect with other folk now. You need to find some way to connect with somebody. I don't know who it is. I don't know how it is. But you need to find a way to connect with somebody else. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says in verse 9, Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him. Look at the word that it says right there. Look at the word. Woe to him that is what? Alone. Alone. When he falls. Because he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You got to invest in relationships with other people. You got to move beyond. And I know for some people it's uncomfortable, but you got to move beyond that comfort zone. Or you're going to continue to stew in that loneliness. And it's going. Did I have a slide up there that said something about the results? I can't remember if I put that in there or not. Was there a slide in there? Look at that right there. Look at this. Loneliness is associated with a variety of mental and physical diseases that can shorten your life. I don't have time to go over my son. Go online and look at some of the statistics on loneliness and see how people, their lives, people who are lonely, that their lives are actually short. And this is a fact. This is not Pastor Glaze saying this. This is a fact. So what am I saying?
I'm saying, man, if you're dealing with it, you need to begin to work through this thing. You know, again, thank God for the grief ministry. Thank God for biblical counseling, you know, that can help people begin to work through some of these issues. Loneliness is associated with a variety of mental and physical diseases that can shorten your life. I don't know about you, but I want to live as long as I can. I want to get the most out of what God has given me. And if I isolate myself, then I'm setting up my own demise. I'm taking myself down quicker than I should be going down. So keep that in mind. Invest in relationships. Like I said, you might have to break out of your comfort zone, but invest in relationships because it'll help you live longer. Reach out to a person who is lonely. That if you are lonely, one of the best things you can do is reach out to another person that's lonely. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9 says that whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And if you're going and you're ministering to people who have lost loved ones, and you're ministering to people who may be victims of divorce, and you're ministering to people who are in that high-risk category, and you're ministering to those individuals, and you're lonely yourself, you're dealing with loneliness, what does the scripture say? The scripture says whatever you sow, that you're going to reap, that it's going to come back to you again. So if I sow partnership, if I sow friendships, if I invest in somebody else's life, guess what's going to happen to me? It's going to come back to me, and it's going to help me to deal with my own loneliness. So what do I do? No, I'm just going to stay here and stew in my loneliness, and I'm just going to be here, and you killing yourself. You know what? I want y'all around, man. I want you around. I want you to do everything that you can to be around. I believe God has great things for Bethany. And I need y'all. I need you. So if you're dealing with loneliness, man, connect with somebody. Get some help. And then, number 6, build your self-esteem by, first of all, realizing that you are loved by God. That you have worth and that God loves you. You know what that verse right there, Jeremiah 31:3, you know what it says? Listen to this. Can you put that up there? Jeremiah 31:3. It says that you are loved with an everlasting. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God loves you with an everlasting love. And you know what? No matter what you've done, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 says that you are accepted in the beloved. Amen. That you are accepted by God. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what's going on in your life, that you are accepted in the beloved. Boy, if that don't do something to your self-esteem, I don't know what will. God loves me with an everlasting love, that he accepts me as a beloved, and then God has given me worth. Amen. And how has God given me worth? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That God loved me so much that he gave his son to die for me. And if that don't lift my self-esteem, I don't know what will. So I start with the question that I ask. I mean, I end with the question that I started with, and that is loneliness your best friend? And you know, the sad thing is that for too many of God's people, the answer to that question.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Anger, That is one angry bird. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Loneliness Is Loneliness Your Best Friend, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Loneliness Is Loneliness Your Best Friend. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Loneliness Is Loneliness Your Best Friend.
When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.
The next time you read something in the Word or God tells you to do something, and you don't do it, the first thing that should come to your mind is that I'm building on sand. Because I've heard what the Lord wants me to do, but I'm not obeying what the Lord wants me to do. And we see that sand is loose, it's unstable, and sand is always shifting. It's always moving. You can't build anything lasting on sand. But yet and still, people are building on sand all the time. I was thinking about what are some sandy things that sandy builders say. This is what sandy builders. So if you find yourself in this category, then you are a sandy builder, right? And that is, this is what I think, right? Now, when I say this, I'm saying it in opposition to the Word of God, that more so than what the Word of God says, this is what I think. And we know that we can't elevate our thoughts above the Word of God unless our thoughts are in line with the Word of God. Well, this is how I feel. This is what sandy builders say. This is how I feel. Sandy builders, they say this is how we've always done it. You know, that's sometimes we have to be careful in the church, right? Because we get comfortable with the traditions. And if God is trying to do something new, then we fall back on the traditions, then we might fall into the category of being a sandy builder. And then we look around and we see a lot of religions have different ideas about things. And some of them are contrary to the Word of God. And so these are sandy foundations. Now, when we look at the wise man and the foolish man, we see that there were similarities between these two individuals, that there were similarities. So if you can go to the next slide. That they both heard the Word of God. This is my point. This is my point. Don't miss this. The point is, they both look alike until the storms come. They both look alike until the storms come. They both heard. Scripture is very clear about that. Their houses represents their lives. The scripture is very clear about that. Their houses Now, this is what John MacArthur says here. So I don't see any reason to not believe this. And again, we know that this is a parable. All right, so this is not necessarily a true story. Watch this. Watch this. The Lord just gave me this, right? Just now. We know that this is not a true story, but it has been replicated time and time again in reality, right? It has been, and not only from a spiritual standpoint, but how many people have built houses on a good foundation and how many people have built houses on the sand? You know, I was doing some reading in preparation for the sermon, and we all heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? And you know why it leans? I didn't know why it leaned. You know, and some of you scholars in here, you probably know. You already know the answer. I just found it out. The reason that it leans is because it was built on sand, right? That's why it leans. And so it became famous for leaning. But they had to close it down, I believe it was in 2001, and go back and kind of support the structure because, watch this, eventually it was going to keep leaning and leaning, and it was going to fall flat on the ground. And so we see that they built their houses in the same location. And their houses probably looked pretty much the same. But what was the difference? The difference was the foundation. The foundation. That was the difference. You know, to me, if you start getting a crack in your wall, or if your doors start getting out of sync and not able to close, if some of your countertops begin to shift, you know what? You can spend a whole lot of money trying to fix the window. You can spend a whole lot of money trying to fix the crack. You can spend a whole lot of money trying to buy new counters and fix them. But the worst thing that you can hear is when the builder comes to your house and says to you, you can spend all the money trying to get that straight, but your foundation is bad. Your foundation is bad. Jesus said the foundation is those.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Don't Want to Be a Fool. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Don't Want to Be a Fool, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Don't Want to Be a Fool. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Don't Want to Be a Fool. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.